Well, the sermon title this morning, which you don't have in front of you, is pretty straightforward. It's Jesus is coming. And if you could see it, it's is actually capitalized, it's underlined, it's giving you some idea of where we're going, that Jesus is coming, which makes sense. When we think of the Advent season, we've lit the first Advent candle. We're in the season of waiting for the birth of Jesus. And that's a perfectly appropriate and wonderful part of this season, of the beginning of the church year. But as I was reflecting on Advent, I thought, it seems sort of odd, isn't it, for us to be waiting for something that's already happened. And obviously we're not waiting for it to happen again. When we think of the four Sundays of Advent getting ready for Christmas, we're getting ready to remember it happening again. And that's a wonderful thing. Just like our own birthdays, our anniversaries, those things that we look forward to, those memorials of one kind or another where we remember something, are part of what makes us who we are, and they're wonderful. But it seems kind of odd when I think of the church year and the hundreds and hundreds of years it's been nourishing the church, and even more so, how it first arose. That group of people who created the festivals and created the rhythms that we follow weren't given so much to looking back as looking forward. And that started me thinking a bit more about Advent and what it might mean for us today. Not to minimize for a moment the notion of carefully thinking of and enjoying the anticipation of Christmas, because that's one of the best parts about Christmas, is looking forward to it. I've often thought, I mean, I understand where it comes from, but the traditions where Christmas sort of appears on the 24th. There are some places where the Christmas tree is put up after the children go to sleep, and on Christmas morning they get a Christmas tree. And I think that's terrific. It's a wonderful surprise. But for me, in a very real sense, the anticipation of something is a big part, sometimes the biggest part, of delightful experiences. And it's not that they're an anticlimax, because they're not. It's just that goes into it. The wanting and the waiting is an important part. But if that's all that Advent is, then our scripture selections for today are really weird, because they're not about Christmas at all. They're about the end of all things. We have the Mark passage that's got all kinds of Christmassy notions, like the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. I've never seen that in a Christmas card, and I hope I never do. Because that's not Christmas, but it's Advent. Because Advent is another opportunity for us to practice the both and. The both and of the Christian life is one of these things. We are saved both now and we will be saved. We are as saved as we can be at the moment. But at that time when we move from this existence into glory, whether we all do it at once or we do it as individuals because we come to the end of our lives, then we will be completely and totally saved in a way that is so much more than we have now. But does that mean our salvation that we enjoy now is inadequate? No, it doesn't. It's a both and. And it's a tricky thing for us to hold on to, because human beings, we don't do well with both ands. We do really well with either ors. Either ors, oh, we do those. You know, you're for me or you're against me. Whatever they might be, either ors are easy for us. Both ends are kind of hard, but they're really rewarding. The both end of every human relationship you've ever been in. The both end of, well, the person that you married is a fallen human being just like you, but is the person that you were made to be with. It's a both and that's kind of tricky. But when you work it through on a day-to-day basis, It's a wonderful thing. Advent is a both and. In Advent, we spend time thinking about Christ's first coming. When he came as a baby, I got the prayer that I did before, the prayer of the people or whatever we're calling it these days, or the first prayer, I got off the website of a minister from Australia. And I just love that reminder that Jesus was born just like we all were. That he was born of a woman just like every other human being. And some Advent seasons, some Christmas seasons, that strikes me more than others. And when it does, it's almost overwhelming. That Jesus decided to come into the world just like us. That's, part of me wants to say that's crazy, but obviously it isn't. It's just glorious. And when we think of Advent, we think of that. And we think of all that it means. But Advent is also an opportunity for us to think of what it means when he comes again. I was reading a book that is designed for people who read through the lectionary and then either teach it or preach it or whatever they do, or just for their own enjoyment. And it reminded me again that Advent is fundamentally an eschatological season. And eschatology is the study of the end times, the end of things. Sometimes it's very narrowly focused on, well, some things it probably shouldn't be focused on, but eschatology in the larger picture is that branch of theology where we look to see what Scripture says about the end of all things. Will God eventually come and wrap this up in a way that makes sense to him and then to us or not? And the answer is yes. And the season of Advent is the both end of us remembering Jesus coming as a baby, first of all, but Jesus also coming back in his true self, in his fully divine self, coming back in glory. We don't know what it looks like. We don't need to know what it looks like. If we needed to know what it looked like, we wouldn't ever read things like, no one knows when this is going to happen. And we wouldn't have so many, and they're not conflicting, but so many, let's just call it what it is, so many vague descriptions of what's going to lead up to Jesus' return. One of the things that someone has said is that every generation can find itself in the Scripture about the end of things. And that's not a mistake. That's not a manipulative Scripture bit. That's reminding us that as Scripture tells us, Christ could come back at any time. That he could come back at any time. That the human condition is such that Jesus' return will always be at a good time. There was a notion, a theological notion, at the turn of the last century, the late 1800s and the early 1900s, where theologians were sincerely coming to the conclusion that the world was perfecting itself. That things were getting better and better. People were living longer. People were living in less poverty. And you need to realize, of course, that theologians, just like all of us, live in the context in which they find themselves. And it was a very particular one, these people. But they were looking at the world was filled with wonders, and it seemed to be getting better and better. This year, we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of what put an end to that theological notion forever. Because the idea of human perfectibility died on the fields of Belgium and France, just like thousands and thousands of men did. There's a theological rebound to that, where you had very pessimistic theology for a long time, which goes to prove that Scripture is letting us know that there's never a bad time for Jesus to come back, and that he always will. just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the comfort that we can get, or the comfort that we can enjoy from the sure knowledge that Jesus is coming back. And Advent is a time for us to live in the both and, the reminder that he came as a baby, but that's not the only time he's going to come. That Jesus didn't just, those bookends of history, as I've heard somebody refer to them, aren't just isolated events in the sense that Jesus was here on earth and good things happened, and then he's going to come back at some point and good things will happen then. And in the middle, we're just sort of on our own. Because Paul is very clear about that, where he talks over and over again, not least of which in our scripture passage today, where he says, I always thank God for you because of the grace given you in Jesus Christ, for in him you have been enriched in every way. A little bit further down, he says, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. For the people of Paul's day, for the people of our day, we are eagerly waiting for Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Not because he's unknowable now or unviewable. Obviously, we have a very personal, a very real experience of Jesus Christ now. But at his second advent, at his second return, or at his second coming, we'll see him as he truly is. He'll be fully revealed. And that's part of what we're waiting for. Jesus is coming. He came once as a baby to begin the process that would result in our salvation. He came as a baby to begin the process that would result in the arrival of the Holy Spirit among God's people in a way that the Holy Spirit hadn't been here before. And he's going to come back to usher in an era, an age, an eternity of what this world was meant to be. And we think of that even as we think of the manger scenes and those opportunities to have our heart warmed by the realization that Jesus started out just like we did. And so when the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus experienced everything we did, he did, right from the beginning of being born, growing up, knowing all of these things that we have come to know. Jesus did come, and that's a great source of comfort and joy to us and to millions and millions of people that don't really know anything about him at all. The Christmas season is one that seems to bring out the best in all kinds of people. And that's just a wonderful goodness. But he's coming again. And when he comes again, whatever that looks like, whenever it is, then everything will make sense. He'll wrap up history, not because what we've done is irrelevant, but because what we've done is inadequate compared to what we could do and what we were called to do and what sin interfered with. I can't wait for him to come back because there's all kinds of things I would like to do that I just can't because of my own limitations. In this season of Advent, when we look forward to Christmas and presents, time together, the joy that we feel on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, whenever we get together with family and open gifts and celebrate that, is just the smallest taste of what that second arrival of Jesus will be like. And as we go through Advent, let's remember the both and. Jesus came, but Jesus is coming. Amen.